Hello, good evening. My name is Richard and this is Over and Over and Over Again. And this is the all new Arsenal Review. Adam, unfortunately, can't be with us this week. He's otherwise engaged. So I'm stepping in to host the Arsenal Review this week. It's not a bad game to be looking back on, is it, either? That dramatic win yesterday over Manchester United, which pretty much had so many talking points. So it's going to keep us very, very busy tonight in the show, isn't it, to go through everything that happened last night. Of course, it's international break, so there's no immediate game to look forward to. But we are going to look also as well at the England squad. Of course, one of our own academy players has been called up for the first time. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at another Arsenal player who's been left out as well again. So lots and lots to get through. And it's all going to be coming up the other side of this. Now, don't worry, there are going to be some guests joining us. We've got some familiar faces coming on the show very, very shortly. We'll bring them in when they arrive, just running a little bit late. That's my fault, actually. I was late getting a link out. I've been rushing around this evening. But anyway, we are going to obviously start with the game yesterday. We will wait until, obviously, everybody's in. We've got Magnificent Jeffo in the chat. Hey, my friend, good to see you. I hope you're well. He says, good to see you again, Richard. Hope you're doing well. Yeah, I'm doing very well, my friend. Hope you are as well. Looking forward to, obviously, seeing you on the show again in, you know, as we go through the season. Nathan's in as well. How are you doing, Nathan? Good to see you as well. Hope you're well today following that dramatic game yesterday, wasn't it? It was, so many talking points, which we'll get on to once the guests arrive. But, I mean, it was an incredible game, wasn't it? I mean, pretty much had everything. But yet, for so long, it was quite frustrating, wasn't it? You know, the game never really ignited, did it? It was quite stale for quite a long time. Lots of possession from both teams. Man United kept possession in their own half, not really threatening too much. We had a lot of possession in their half and, again, didn't really create too many chances, did we, for a long time? Then, of course, there was the two goals, wasn't there? They scored and then we scored straight afterwards. And until the 88th minute, that was where it looked like it was going to finish. You know, we had a couple of big chances, didn't we? Saka missed one. And then, of course, right near the end, there was that goal that Manchester United had ruled out, which we will come on to as well. Actually, why don't we? We've got our first very, very special guest to come and join us. It is, of course, Neil. How are you doing, my friend? Good to see you.
Hello, Rich. How are you doing?
Very, very well, mate. Very, very well. Good to see you. Obviously, yeah. I know you would have enjoyed yesterday as much as we all did. I mean, what a dramatic finale it was to what had been a fairly dull game up until probably 85 minutes, wasn't it? Really, it was a game of possession for both teams without really creating too much, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was a bit surprised at us not really going for the jugular right from the off, because Man United, for me, were just kind of sitting back with a low block, and I thought, well, they're there for the taking, but we were just letting them, we weren't really doing much with it. There was some good movements and a couple of attacks, but they really amounted to nothing, to be honest with you. I just felt that we are so much superior, we're a superior team to them at the moment, and we should be taking advantage of that right from the get-go. Maybe they were scared of conceding another one, first minute goal. If they, you know, went forward, maybe that was it. But yeah, the thing that I took away from it, Rich, was I'm glad to have Gabriel back in the team, because I really hated the omission of Gabriel. He's a really very important for me player there at the back. You know, he's a good fall to Saliba, and he commands the box either end.
Do you think though, Neil? I mean, I was saying this yesterday. Obviously, Thomas Partey was injured, so that option of playing Thomas Partey at right back and having Ben White in the centre was taken away from Mikel Arteta due to the injury. Do you think that if Thomas Partey had been fit, do you think he would have stuck with the back four that has been in place all season? Or do you think he would have made that change anyway?
That's a really good point. I thought the same thing. I'm not sure. I would like to think he did it. He wouldn't have done. But if he had, I felt that this game was almost season defining this early on, because I thought if say Partey hadn't got injured and he stuck with that same formation, this experimentational formation, which he likened to the traffic on the M25 and like 39 or 46 different formations in the game, I'm like, yeah, okay, I didn't quite see that. I'm not an expert on formations, but I definitely didn't see that. But it is what it is. I mean, maybe he was doing it a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I would like to think he wouldn't have done, but there's every possibility that he would have, because at the moment it just seems to me that we are shaping up to cater for Havertz. Now, I, for the first two, maybe even the third game, has kind of tried to back him. But I think last time I said he needs to come on. If he's going to be coming on, come on as a substitute. Don't be starting him. I think we've got far better players in that position or thereabouts that are willing to play and are not getting a chance because of maybe because of his price tag. I don't know. Maybe it's because it was Arteta's choice and he doesn't want to be proven wrong. Could be a bit of stubbornness. I'm not sure what it is. But again, he started, even though we went back to a traditional back four and, you know, Zinny back, White back in his right back position, we still played Havertz, didn't we? And I'm thinking, well, we've got Vieira, we've got Trossard, we've got Emma Smith-Rowe, we've got such wonderful talent, you know, that are there waiting in the wings. And I don't understand why this need. And I think it will be good for the player because I think he's bereft of confidence as well now, especially with that miss, that miss kick. I mean, that summed it up. I mean, it's like, he's just got no confidence, Rich. Yeah, people can argue that he does a little bit of good stuff with his off the ball movement and he does a bit of this and he's got to make an impact. He's £65 million. He's got to make a more tangible impact, if you like. We can talk about all the intangibles, all the off-the-ball movement he may be doing. But to be honest, you've got to see something tangible in my eyes. And I don't think we know what the role is. I don't think Arteta knows what his role is. And to be fair to the lad, he probably doesn't know what his role is. And I still think he's got a massive hangover from his Chelsea days. And I just think now, maybe it's good that we've got the international break where he doesn't need to be playing for a bit. And maybe Arteta can think about it a little bit more. I don't know whether he will or whether he'll just go back to him when we return against Everton. I don't know. But I just feel that he needs to be not playing or not starting. Maybe as a substitute, but not starting for sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree with that. And I mean, I thought yesterday he seemed to be more playing in the Xhaka role, didn't he? Which Arteta had mentioned in pre-season, didn't he, that he'd kind of had him in mind for that role, even though I don't think that's a natural position for him personally. I think he's better further up the pitch. Although I know he had that terrible miss, but, you know, he was in that position. But, I mean, what I noticed yesterday was, I agree, in the first half, he looked like he had no confidence whatsoever. He didn't want to take any risk with the ball. He just wanted to try and keep it. It was his mistake when he gave the ball away that led to the goal as well, which didn't help. And I thought his head went down. And I kind of expected him to get taken off at half-time. But to be fair to him, I thought second half, he actually played better. He did look a little bit better in the second half, didn't he? He still didn't have the impact that you're saying he should have, a £65 million player. No. I mean, he won the penalty that was overturned, I suppose. He made a good run into the box for that to get that opportunity. And I thought second half, he was better. But yeah, I agree. I think now is the time. We've got an international break. We come back. Now's the time to maybe make that change. Like you said, we've got decent options in midfield now. We've got decent options in attack. We can rotate and move players around. You don't mess with your defence. You keep your defence that you know you can rely on. And that defence yesterday was a defence that last season got us where we were. We were top of the league for so long because of that back four. You know, and I know Zinchenko was in and out because he was injured a bit, but basically it was that back four. And why we haven't been playing that until now, I do not know. It's one of Arteta's mysteries that he has several of. And finally, whether it was by choice or whether it was by because he had no other choice other than to pick that side yesterday, I don't know. But hopefully now we won the game. I thought we looked a little bit more solid defensively. Yes, Man United didn't put us under a great deal of pressure, let's be honest. But we did look a little bit more solid defensively. And that's got to be the way you start from the back, don't you? George Graham, all the great managers that we've had. You build from the back, you get your defence right. And then what goes on ahead of that takes care of itself. That's when you can mess around with things, try different things. You don't mess around with your defence. You get your defence that you want. You stick with it every week when they're fit. You make changes when you have to, when there's players injured. But other than that, you keep them now. And I think we've seen that last season. We saw it yesterday. That's got to be surely now. If Arteta ever plays Thomas Partey at right back again, when those other four are fit, then to me that is clearly he's got some issue going on somewhere with somebody that needs to be sorted out. Because that to me, that's got to be our defence. I would change the goalkeeper. Personally, I still think, even yesterday, I thought we could have done better with a goal. I know it was a good strike, but, you know, maybe you could have been better with that. And I thought it was a couple of other. He made a couple of good saves, as he does. But I don't know. I would change the goalkeeper for David Raya, add that back four and go from there. And I think that's the foundation to go on. And, you know, we've got 10 points out as well, even though we haven't really played that well yet. And we've played, you know, we haven't played, we played a couple of games we expected to win. Man United are difficult team to beat. At home, we tend to beat them, but they're a good side. They've got good players. And we, you know, 3 wins out of 4. I mean, it's been a strange start, hasn't it? Because we've not played that well. And yet there we are, 2 points off Man City and getting points on the ball without which last season, if we didn't play well, we dropped points. And already this season, we've not played well and we've picked up points. Is that going to be a shift later on in the season when these things really matter in March and in April and in May? Is that going to be crucial, do you think, now, the fact that we can show that we can win games without playing well? Because I don't think we've done that before, really, have we? For us to win games before, everything has to be perfect. And it hasn't been perfect, and we're still winning games.
Yeah, we've always been a finely tuned organism, haven't we? We've always... It's like a slight kind of shift, and it kind of unsettles the balance of the whole team. So whether that be an injury or a player admitted by international duty or whatever it might be. So I think even in Wenger's heyday, even then, if we lost a couple of players, it was a little bit impactful. Maybe not so much as it has been recently, but it certainly was. And I think that's just the way, that's almost like in our DNA, that, you know, we have to, everything has to be working perfectly for us to do well. And that's the difference. I think last season we started so well. I think it was 5 out of 5, wasn't it? 5 out of 5 wins until we ironically lost to Man U in that bit of a debateful and controversial game. But I do you know what, in a way, Richard, I prefer it this way, because it's almost like, I don't know about you, but you go back to the George Graham and before, you know, that era. Arsenal always played better when they're underdogs. For me, when the pressure's on them, I feel that it doesn't work. I feel that when we're the underdogs, when no one expects anything from us, and maybe we're second or languishing in third, but not far off the top, I think we're better suited for that. So I actually prefer it this season, where I think we peaked too early last season. I know we had the injuries to Saliba and Tomiyasu in that one game, but I feel that we peaked too early, and then teams almost started sussing us out as well. But this season, we've kind of been, you know, up and down, nothing fluid. I've not really seen that fluid play yet from us that we were so devastating with last season. And if that's still to come, then I'll take this all day long. I would rather start slow and gain momentum as the season goes on, when you were quite right in the beginning of last season saying, well, it doesn't really matter until a bit later on, you know, way after Christmas, maybe February, March time. That's when we'll see if the fitness is still there. And you were spot on with that. So I think, let's see what happens. And come on, 10 out of 12 ain't bad. I know everyone's going about Liverpool City, but 2 points is only, I mean, they've got, I think their first game back is West Ham away. That's not, I think it is. I'm not sure. That's not going to be easy for them. But at the moment, they're not showing any weaknesses, are they?
No, and I mean, to be honest with you, we can't influence what other teams do. You know, if Man City win all their games, they win all their games, nothing we can do about that. All we can do is try and get as many points as we can. And where that takes us at the end of the season is where it's going to take us, whether it's winning a title, whether it's finishing in the top four or wherever it is. That's what we can only worry about ourselves. And I don't tend to, you know, I suppose I'm more interested or worried about the teams that I believe we're going to be battling with in that top four area now, because it's not just a top four anymore, is it? It's not even a top six, it's almost a top eight. And if you throw Brighton into the mix, because they're a very good team, it could be even more. West Ham had a great start to the season. They won a European trophy. So, you know, we know that they can be up there as well. So I'm more concerned with those teams that we're going to be battling with. Obviously, winning the game yesterday was massive, because Man United are one of those teams and we've just gained 3 points on them. So that's a massive game for us. And Man City, for me, we can't worry about them, because they're probably going to win too many points for anybody else to cope with, probably. I mean, you never know. They might have a collapse later on, and who knows? But all we've got to do is keep getting as many points as we can. And if they do collapse, we'll be there to take advantage of it. If they don't, then we're still going to finish as high up the table as we can. And if that's second again, we'll have to accept that, you know, City just can't be beaten. And that's that. But I want to see us this season, if nothing else, I want to see us when we play Man City, to actually give them a proper game, because last season we didn't. Both games, we just got rolled over quite easily, let's be honest. You know, far easier than we should have done if we were their nearest challengers, really. We should have given them a closer game. Other teams gave them better games than we did last season. And that's what I want to see this season. That's the main improvement we have to make, is even if Man City beat us twice again, there's no shame in that. They're a great side, but let's at least give them a game. Let's at least show something against them and make them have to worry about it, make them have to raise their game to beat us. They didn't have to raise their game either time to beat us last season, really, did they? It was fairly comfortable. And that's the one thing that really frustrated me. because everyone said, oh, we challenged Man City, we challenged Man City. Well, we were the nearest team to them, but when it actually came down to it, when we played them, we didn't get a glove on them. We didn't lay a glove on them in two league games. And that's not a team that's challenging, who believes they can challenge for a title, is it? When Liverpool were battling with Man City, quite often they'd either get a result against Man City or they would certainly make Man City have to go all the way to win. And that's all I want to see us do. I don't expect us to win the league. I don't expect us to be able to beat that Man City team. I don't. Let's be honest. They're just too good. And they've got too much experience. They've got too much know-how. They've got a manager who knows how to win games when it matters. And I think all we can do is try and do the best that we can. And I'm not expecting us to get 80-odd points like we did last year again. I think this season is going to be tougher. I really do. I think the league's stronger this year. I'm not sure if we've really strengthened our squad enough than we needed to. We've brought in some good players, but we've let a lot go. We're maybe weaker in depth, but maybe better in quality in the players that we've got. But when we've got European Champions League to come. But what do you think about that? Obviously, the transfer window's shut now. And, you know, obviously, you know, Duran Timber's got injured. He might not play again until March or April. We don't know. We've let Kieran Tierney go out on loan. Strange for me. He's a great player. He deserved to be playing more. We've got Emil Smith-Rowe sitting on the bench, not even coming on, even in games like yesterday. He trusts other players ahead of Emil Smith-Rowe. Reece Nelson came on yesterday, you know, and I'm not saying he did quite well, actually, didn't he? But what's Emil Smith-Rowe done wrong to not even get minutes on the pitch? But do you think the squad now, obviously, the window's shut, we can't do anything about it till January. Is this squad big enough, deep enough, and have enough quality to be able to deal with the Champions League group games, which, you know, we'll talk about that as well in a minute, but to get through them and also keep ourselves competitive in the Premier League, in that top four, challenging away, keep picking up points. Is the squad big enough to do that now with the window shut, do you think?
If Timber wasn't injured and we were lucky with injuries, because if Arsenal's cursed, we always seem to pick up the injuries every blooming season. It doesn't matter what, doesn't matter where we are in the league. We always just tend to pick up key injuries. I don't know what it is about us. But if Timber wasn't injured and we didn't pick up key injuries, I'd say yes, it was strong enough. Even though we've lost the likes of Tierney, we've lost a couple of others, because as you mentioned, the quality. I think we've definitely improved in the quality. I think, as good as Xhaka was, I'm hoping that, you know, Rice is an upgrade on Xhaka. And I think he's proving to be a very, very good player, Richard, especially yesterday. I thought he was man of the match. But the problem is, you know, we brought in Havertz to increase that quality, and obviously we're not seeing it yet. And I feel that, you know, he's getting a lot of stick, and hopefully maybe he will come good. But I just don't know. I just don't think he's ready. He needs to take a step back. But then you can argue we've got the Emil Smith-Rowe of this world. We've got the Trossards of this world. We've got the Vieiras of this world. He looks amazing. He looks like a man possessed in the last two games. He's played 65 minutes over the last two games, and he's got 100% pass accuracy. I mean, come on. I mean, that's
two assists as well.
That's unbelievable stuff. Exactly. Yeah. So when you look at it like that, I mean, I was thinking that we may potentially get another defender on loan because of what happened to Timber, but we haven't. In fact, we've got rid of Tierney. Tierney's an odd one for me, because if we were going to get rid of him, I thought we would have just sold him. The fact that he's gone on loan is a weird one. If he's not going to be able to get into the team now, he's never going to be able to get into the team. So why loan him? I don't understand that. That's really bizarre.
No.
You know, the least we could have done is got some money for him then, and we haven't even done that. Yeah. So that is bizarre. I think goalkeeping, you're right. I think Rare is a tremendous keeper from what I've seen of him and heard about him. And he might be a good fall or a good challenge to Ramsdale, and maybe that will improve Ramsdale. But I think you're right. I think it could be time to give him a run now after the international break. Ramsdale can make some amazing saves, as we know, some world-class saves. But sometimes I think his positioning is a little off. Sometimes he might be a little bit flat-footed. I don't know whether he's overconfident. I don't know what it is, but I just feel that he makes silly mistakes, which he doesn't need to. He does the harder stuff better than he does the easier stuff, in my book. I'm kind of 50-50 with it, Rich, because I think the problem is it's not just about the depth of players and the quality. It's about the fact that the Champions League is a new thing for us again. It's been, what, a 6-7 year absence? All right, we were in the Europa League, but this is a different kettle of fish altogether. You know, even the group we've been drawn against, thankfully, travelling-wise, it's not bad. But they're not bad teams. People are saying, oh, that's an easy group, I'll take that all day. it's not easy. There's no easy teams anymore in football, as we know, to our detriment. I mean, I think it's a tough group, and we're going to be new to it again. So we've got that to deal with. And if Lee had maybe a couple of other players, like you're saying, to strengthen the depth, I might have been a little bit more comfortable with it. I'm not so sure. You think about our defence now. We've lost Tierney, we've lost Timber. If another one or two get injured, we're light again. And that's over two or three competitions, not just one. So yeah. I'm not sure. And now we've potentially lost Partey for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe more. So he can't even go back to that. Use him as a right back in for trouble in defence. So I don't, unless it's time for one of the academy boys to come through. I'm not sure. Don't know.
I mean, the only issue with that would be, so far in nearly 4 years, Arteta hasn't brought any academy players through. He's put some on the bench when we've had injuries previously in some of the games, but he's never actually promoted anybody into the first team, which after 4 years, to me, I'm quite surprised, because we've got such a great academy with so many really talented players in there, and he's not given them an opportunity at all. And I feel as though by now there should have been one or two at least that started to break through. Every generation of Arsenal teams has always had some, haven't they? You know, our own account. Yes, and Kutsaka's in the team now. It's maybe covered up a little bit. Smith Rowe's on the bench. Reece Nelson's getting game time. Eddie, of course, is playing at the moment as well. We've got academy players in the team, but it wasn't Arteta that brought them into the team in the first place. They were already part of the first team squad when he arrived, and they've come on and improved and whatever. But I'm quite surprised after 4 years that not more of the academy players are getting opportunities to play more. And, you know, in the past, of course, it was always the League Cup, wasn't it? Arsene Wenger brought him into the League Cup games, the Champions League group games. He would throw him into there as well, give him game times and build it from there. And even Unai Emery, you know, that's how Smith Rowe and Saka got in the Europa League, didn't they, in the group stage. That's how they got in. And sometimes that's what you've got to do. Will Mikel Arteta risk that in the group stage? Bearing in mind, as you said, I agree, there's no easy games. It's a group that I'm happy with. It could have been worse. But yes, there's difficult games. And I think it's massively important that we qualify out of the group. That's what we have to do. Will Mikel Arteta risk throwing in some of these youngsters in the group? I don't think he will. I really don't. I can't see him doing that, because it will be a risk. There's no doubt. You're throwing these youngsters into the Champions League. We did it before, but we had so much experience with the Champions League. We could maybe get away with it. Now, I don't know if we can.
I agree. I think the only way we might see that happen is if we qualify. We win our first, say, 4 or 5 matches. We're already top of the group. We can't be moved. Maybe. And then the last match may be a nothing match. Then he might stick them in. I can't see. I mean, did you see that goal that I can never pronounce his name? And Wery? I can't pronounce his name. The academy Wery, goal. Yeah. And it was from Skelly. Is it Skelly, his name? The other lad? Two great players. And that's another thing that just came to mind. If you're talking about defence, we had that American lad, didn't we? Trusty. And we got rid of him, didn't we? Why did we get rid of him? Because apparently he was really good. Apparently.
Well, I mean, he was good in the Championship for Birmingham. Whether that means he's good enough for the Premier League. I mean, I believe, and I don't know whether this is true, I think Matt Turner and Austin Trusty both came at the same time last year from America. I think the owners got them across to try to raise the profile of the club in America. Arteta didn't rate either of them. He got rid of Trusty on loan very quickly. Matt Turner didn't really play that much, and he's got rid of him as soon as he got a keeper that he really wanted. So I think the owners were behind those two coming in. So I kind of, at the time, I felt that I wasn't expecting them to play. Oh, okay. And now they've gone very quickly. That's kind of confirmed it for me. They weren't Arteta's choices of player. He was given them by the owners. The owners were saying, we're going to get some American players in the team just to make people in America take notice of what's going on. I think that was the reason, personally. Maybe I'm wrong. maybe that's not the case, but that's where he come across to me at the time, and that he come to me now even more that they've gone. So, you know, I say Trusty didn't even play a game, not one game. And even Matt Turner had a couple of games, and he didn't play that well in one of them, and then he hardly got picked again, and he was playing Ramsdale in the Europa League as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just feel he didn't really trust them, because they wasn't his players. He didn't choose them. So, but anyway, I mean, they've gone now. We'll have to see what happens. But I'll be amazed if he plays any of the youngsters in. I mean, if you remember in the Europa League two or three seasons ago, there was people like Aziz played, didn't he? Balogun played a couple of games in the Europa League group. But the Europa League, slightly different to the Champions League in the terms of the quality of opposition that you're playing. And it's obviously, because we've not been in it for a long time, there's such a lot of expectation maybe from the fans as well to do well in the Champions League this year, because we've been out of it for so long. And it's like, come on, we don't want to get knocked out of the group stage. We've waited 7 years, like you said, to be in it. So, you know, this is what this is part of it as well. But yeah, he should have been blooding some of these youngsters in by now.
I think so.
He should have been coming off the bench, coming on in the Premier League. And, you know, we saw that when Neri came on, didn't he, for that record-making appearance. That was clearly some sort of PR stunt, because he's not been anywhere near the first team since. Even though he's a great player, I agree, he maybe should be coming off the bench a couple of times. But Arteta doesn't. If he's not bringing Emil Smith Rowe off the bench, who's proved himself to be a Premier League top player, he's not going to throw in a 17-year-old, 18-year-old from the academy, is he? Because why would he do that ahead of Smith Rowe sitting on the bench? Trossard just didn't come on. You know, these experienced Premier League players, if he's not using them, he's not going to use the kids, is he? And I don't think he will in the group stage at all. Unless, like you said, if we've already qualified, he might throw a couple of them in. But even then, I don't think he will. I don't know. He doesn't strike me as that's what he'll do, even if we've qualified. I don't think he will. I still think he'll stick with... He might make some changes to the starting 11, but it'll be players like Smith Rowe will play, or Trossard will play, or Vieira will play. Those type of players will play. Tomiyasu will play and stuff like that, rather than his first choice 11. That's what I think will happen. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, yeah. We need, I think you're right in the fact that we need some of these youngsters to play, because the squad, I think we've got gaps in the squad in certain positions in the team that I agree. One of, if we get, you know, Zinchenko's always injured, so he could be injured again. Wouldn't be a surprise, would it? Let's be honest. Yes, Tomiyasu can come in and play that role. It's not his natural position, but he can do a job. He's had two injuries in two seasons as well, so we can't rely on him not to be injured. Yes, Kieran Tierney is, again, another injury-prone player, so we couldn't have relied on him necessarily either. But I don't know. I mean, I think we're a bit short, personally, in the squad. I think we're a little bit short, especially in defence, and possibly even further up the pitch. We've got options, but we've got options that Mikel Arteta isn't using, so they're almost wasted options. If he's not going to use Smith Rowe, buy someone that you are going to use and sell Smith Rowe. As much as we love Smith Rowe wanting to play, we don't pick the team. If Mikel Arteta doesn't want him to play for whatever reason, he clearly doesn't. What's the point of him sitting on the bench wasting his life? It's just pointless. If I was him, I would have demanded a move away in this summer window, either a loan or a move, because he's just come off the back of that brilliant championship he had for England under 21s. Yeah. You know, he was one of the best players in that tournament. He's fit. He's come back. We were told he was going to be playing. He's not played 1 minute in the Premier League. He played 2 minutes in the Community Shield. And that's it. And it's like, what's going on? I don't understand it. I do not understand it. Do you reckon there's an issue between him and Arteta? Do you reckon they've had a fallout somewhere along the line? Or is it literally Arteta doesn't trust him to do the job in the team that he needs him to?
I don't know, Rich. I would like to think there isn't a fallout, because otherwise then wouldn't they have tried to at least loan him out or try to sell him? He's come out himself, hasn't he, Arteta, and said he's a big part of our plans going forward. So why
does he say that a lot, though, does he? And still doesn't
pick yeah, up. He does. I'd like to think not. I'd like to think they haven't. Smith Rowe doesn't come across as you don't know people, do you? I mean, all I know is what we see on the telly and a few interviews here and there, but he doesn't come across as a confrontational kind of guy, and I'd be shocked and stunned if they've had some kind of falling out. Maybe let's just hope that with the start and the start of the Champions League games, that maybe he might start featuring here and there, for a bit of squad rotation, because he is an utter talent for me, Richard. Unlike you, I absolutely love the guy. I feel the same way about Trossard as well, actually, to be honest. I think it's wrong that he's not had more time this season. But I feel a certain kind of, a little bit more warmth towards Emil Smith-Rowe, because he's a hurling boy and he's an Arsenal lad. And I can't understand why a talented kid such as him is not getting any time. He was brilliant when he came on with Saka, when Emery brought them on. I think they were both due to injuries. He had no choice, but they started running the team for us for so many months, didn't they, when we were so poor? And I always said that I thought at the time, I thought Smith Rowe would become a better player than Saka, which is saying something, because of course Saka's achieved. And then just to sideline him, as you said, and you make such a good point. After such a great championship with England, you'd think that, right, what more do I got to do to show the boss that I'm ready? and he doesn't even get a look in. And it's like, why are you doing this? You know, give the lad a chance. You've given Vieira a chance, quite rightly so. Now give Emile Smith Rowe a chance. But all of these players, for me, Trossard, Vieira, Emile Smith Rowe, all being hampered because of one 65 million player. That's wrong, Rich. It's not the right thing to do.
I mean, yeah, it does appear to be Havertz is getting a lot more game time than maybe his performances have deserved when there's players on the bench that have proved themselves to be ready to play and do a job. Even Vieira has come on, what we've seen of him this season, he's come on massively from last season. Yeah, I mean, maybe Arteta feels under pressure to play Havertz because of the money involved. We say he wanted him, but did he? Because he came out in pre-season and said he wasn't really sure what role in the team Havertz was going to play. And to me, that's unusual because Arteta he's so sort of it's set in what he wants from everybody that for him to buy a player and say, I don't really know what his role is, I found that quite strange of Arteta because that's not what Arteta does. Now, has this player been bought for him? Has it been forced on him and he's been forced to play him more? I don't know. Because just him saying that I don't really know what Havertz's role is, to me, I was shocked by that because Arteta's got individual roles for every single player, every single minute in every single game. He knows exactly where everybody has to be and he's telling them constantly from the sideline, isn't he? You've got to be here now. You've got to be there now. He's doing it all the time. So he wouldn't buy a player that he doesn't know if he can fit into the system or not. He wouldn't do that. Every single player he's bought for a reason because they fit into what he needs. And that's how it's gone. And the players that haven't fitted into what he needs, he's got rid of, or he's not played, or he's left them on the bench. And we're seeing that now with what we just said. So I don't know, with his Havertz being, it concerns me that was Havertz a player that Arteta really wanted? And if he isn't a player that Arteta really wanted, is he being forced into giving him game time because of how much he cost? I mean, it could be another Pepe situation. Emery didn't want Pepe, did he?
Yeah,
and Arsenal paid a lot of money for Pepe, and Pepe had to play, and he wasn't playing particularly well because he wasn't fitting in at the time. At the beginning, it was difficult for him. Then, of course, Emery got sacked anyway, and it still didn't work out for Pepe afterwards. Although he had some decent games actually that season, won the FA Cup, didn't he? He set up
the. We might see the resurgence of him this season. It's the Phoenix rises.
Well, who knows? He's not going to play under Arteta.
He's still with us. Do you know what? I didn't know that Arteta said that about Havertz. I didn't know. It's the first time I'm hearing it. I have no clue, which now seems really odd. But if
he does, that's what I thought at the time. Why would he sign a player he didn't know what he was going to do with?
But who would make him do that? What, the board or the owners or Edu? That doesn't make any sense. Who?
It doesn't make sense.
And you're right. You know what? I never thought of that. He could be in his contract that he has to play a certain number of minutes or games. It could be in his contract. Which is, well, I think if you ever buy a player like that, then you are not a fit manager. But you're not a fit because that's ridiculous. You can't be blackmailed into a contract to say, well, he'll only sign for you if he plays 28 games this season or he plays X number of minutes, because you only play if you're on form and if you're good enough, as far as I'm concerned. You always play your best players in their best positions, and that's what defines a club's success or failure in my eyes. So that would be absolutely ludicrous if it's written in his contract. But at the moment we can't seem to think of any feasible explanation as to why he's persisting with him. Let's wait and see. We'll find out in the Everton game if he starts. Because if he does, well, I don't know what to say.
Let's see what happens. I mean, that's the biggest concern for me at the minute. What's going on with all of that, really? We have had some, obviously, there are quite a few comments coming in. Terry says, evening, Richard. I thought you smashed Talk TV yesterday. I enjoyed being on there. It was good fun. I always like going on there. We've got Wisdom in the chat there. Says, hi, how are you doing? Good to see you. Loki's in as well, as usual. How are you doing, my friend? Hope you're well. Jaffar says there, man like Neil. Hope you're doing well. Great stuff. And Wisdom says there, hand waving, good stuff. Where are we now? Terry says, evening, Loki, and all in the chat. Loki says their party would have got torn apart by Rashford. Yeah, I think he probably would have done. I mean, Rashford was giving Ben White some issues, wasn't he? So, yeah, you'd imagine party would have got ripped apart. Maybe party wouldn't have played for that reason because of the Rashford situation. I don't know. Jaffar says Arteta is stubborn. Well, I agree with that. He says, I'm very sure he would have gone with the same formation and played party at right back. Yeah. I believe he would have done. We won't ever know that. Obviously, it was taken out of his hands. I mean, that's another thing, actually, talking about that, because didn't you find it a little bit strange that on the Friday, I think it was, wasn't it, where the Ghanaian FA have released this statement saying Thomas Partey's not fit. And Arsenal, that never happens. Arsenal keep everything close to their chest, don't they? They don't release these things. That got released at a time when everybody's saying, why is Thomas Partey playing right back? What's going on? And then suddenly that decision's taken away from Arteta because Thomas Partey's injured. I'm not saying he's not injured. He clearly is injured. But that statement suddenly gets released by the Ghanaian FA ahead of the game. And when Arteta, if he'd been asked in his press conference before, that he would have said, oh, no, you know, he wouldn't have given any information away, would he? And there was rumours that Thomas Partey had been in training on Friday, and yet the Ghanaian FA said the injury was on Thursday. I don't know. I find all that a little bit weird, actually. That's, you know, the Havertz thing's a little bit strange. This is even more strange, really, isn't it? Because that's not what happens, is it? That's not how Arsenal do things. What's gone on there?
I don't know, unless somehow the information's got leaked, and it's unusual for Arsenal to let that happen, but it could have done. It could have got leaked. It could just be as simple as that. But you know, when I first heard it, and then one of the guys or the accounts that had leaked that information, he was getting so many, or he or she, we don't know, because obviously they don't reveal their identity, was getting so many pelters from other Twitter accounts saying, oh, what do you know? And where's your evidence? And da-da-da-da-da. But then it actually manifested to be true. So, yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. I haven't got the answer to that, Rich. I don't know, but I can only assume it got leaked. But, and Arsenal didn't want that. I actually thought that Arteta was playing mind games with Man U, saying, oh, he's injured.
I thought I was going to play.
Yeah. And then just go back to the same old experimental ball formation.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't believe it totally until I saw the team lineup, and then I thought, well, obviously he's not in the squad at all, so clearly he's injured. So yeah, I must admit, I was kind of thinking, is he really injured? What's going on? It just didn't make any sense to me. You know, the one thing that's happened since Arteta's been manager in particular is there's very few surprises from Arsenal anymore. You're not getting, you know, there's no dirt being dug up. There's nothing like that, isn't it? Everything's kept in house. And everything's, you know exactly what's happening, and or what they want us to believe is happening. The outside looks that way, and that's the way it's always been under Arteta. There's been nothing changed from that since he's been there. It's like he wanted to change the way all that was done, and he has done. And suddenly, for something like this to happen, is so unusual. You know, in the past it wouldn't have been. I think under other managers we'd have probably just, you know, thought, well, that's the way it is. But because of how things have been with Mikel Arteta, these things just don't happen. They've never happened before. And that was what surprised me when I'm thinking, something's not right with this. It doesn't sit right, because it's just completely out of the ordinary for what we've been getting in the last three or four years under Mikel Arteta. It's not been like that.
It's true. These things don't
happen. And it's like, what is happening? But anyway, he was injured. Clearly he's injured. He didn't play. He wasn't in the squad. He's not going to play for Ghana in the international break. Let's see when we come back, whether or not he's fit and whether he can play or the room.
That even crossed my mind as well, Rich, that are they doing it to keep him out of the international duty? That was another thing. And if that's the case, brilliant. That's what Klopp does all the time, doesn't he? So good on him.
But it was a guy in FA that said he wasn't.
Yeah, that's so the irony. Exactly. I don't know, Rich. It's weird.
Yeah, it is very strange. Terry says, let's be honest here, absolutely fantastic win. But we were Tom Tit. Arteta has lost the plot. He has to go before we waste another season. I mean, I didn't think we were brilliant for most of that game. We wasn't, let's be honest. We were quite, our passing wasn't great. We were very passive, I thought, a lot of the time with our forward play. But Man United wasn't a lot better, let's be honest. So it wasn't like it made any difference. But we won the game. And to be fair, yesterday, the formation and the lineup was pretty much what I think most of us would have gone with. I personally would have changed the goalkeeper, but that's just me, because I don't really trust Ramsdale enough in big moments. He did okay yesterday, I suppose. But other than that was pretty much, when you looked at who was fit and who was available, that was pretty much the starting lineup. Maybe Eddie's the only other one that you'd think. Jesus is better. Maybe he showed he was when he came on. Maybe those two changes at either end of the pitch, maybe. But other than that, it was pretty much what we would have expected and what we would have wanted. So I don't think Arteta had any, I didn't have any issues with his team selection yesterday, particularly. I didn't really have any issues with how we played. We played as I thought he was going to play. But we won the game, and that's the most important thing, isn't it? At the end of the day, I don't mind if we don't play that well. Loki says there, sorry, Havertz is like a lazy scouser, does not work. Funnily enough, yesterday, what I felt was, and it's almost I don't know, I couldn't get my head around it. He reminded me a little bit of Mesut Ozil under Arteta, where you know Mesut Ozil had quality. For whatever reason, it didn't look as though he was working for the team. It didn't look as though he was playing in a position that was suitable to him. And it reminded me so much of that. And I'm thinking, Mikel Arteta couldn't wait to get Mesut Ozil out of the club. He couldn't wait to drop him out of the team. And he's persisting with Kai Havertz, who's got very similar. I mean, he's got a similar kind of style about him in the fact that he doesn't look as though he's
very languid.
He's laid back, isn't he? Yeah. And that doesn't help him. When you're not playing well, if you don't look as though you're trying, I don't believe he's lazy. I don't believe he's lazy. I'm not sure. I think he's a little bit lost. He's lost his confidence. He seems to not really be sure what his role in the team is. He gets the ball. He just wants to do something simple just because he's afraid almost to make a mistake. So he's just playing simple balls and he's just doing nothing to make any impact at all. And for 65, as you said earlier, a £65 million player, he's got to be doing more, hasn't he? He's got to be. Nathan says, sorry, but he's living off the Champions League final goal. Well, I mean, who wouldn't? You know, you score a winning goal in the Champions League final, you're going to get beers for life, aren't you? But yeah, he's got to do more. There's no doubt about that. And if he doesn't start doing more, he's going to have to be left out of the team, whether Mikel Arteta wants to or not. He's going to have to do it because there'll be so much pressure on Kai Havertz anyway. And I don't think that's going to help him if his confidence is low anyway, which it seems to be. By keep on playing him and playing him, some players can play themselves into form, but he doesn't look as though he's going to. He looks as though he needs to be taken out of the firing line now. I mean, I thought at half-time, I was surprised when he came out for the second half. He was so poor in that first half. I don't think I've seen a worse performance from an Arsenal player for a long, long time. He was dreadful. Everything he tried didn't come off. And then that miss-kick shot summed it up. His pass that gave the goal to Man U. All these things in that one half of football, he was dreadful. And I say, to be fair, he was slightly better in the second half. But even so, has that given him a bit of confidence? I don't know. But he got taken off soon after anyway, didn't he? After the penalty, so I don't know, really. But anyway, Terry says, I thought Havertz had a good second half, but we stopped passing the ball. In the first half, either, did we? But anyway, Terry says, are we still trusting the process? Well, I mean, I don't think we can call it a process anymore, can we? We're 4 years into it. It's not a process anymore. This is what it is. We are now in the sort of heart of it all now. This isn't a process. The process has been going from all those players that we had on big contracts that wasn't really working out, that wasn't maybe good enough, getting rid of all of them, getting all these players in that Mikel Arteta has wanted, younger players a lot of the time, and changing the style of play. That was the process. We're now in this process now, and now we should be now thinking we're not in the process anymore. We've got to be taking it to the next level, which now is to be winning trophies, consistently challenging and winning trophies. That's now what we're doing. If we don't do that, then none of it's been worthwhile, is it? None of it would have been worthwhile. And that would be so frustrating because some of us have given him more time than others, but the club and everybody else has given Mikel Arteta a lot of leeway when we were dreadful under him. And all these times that we've thrown away great opportunities for the top four, for winning the title in Europa League, all these kind of things. And we've all stuck by him. Most people have stuck by him. He's got the support that he's needed from the club, from the fans. He's got to deliver now. He's got to. There's no more excuses. I'm not having it, you know. And I don't care how well we play or how brilliant his hair is or the dog he's brought into the to the training ground. All of this stuff is irrelevant now. It's all about winning trophies now for Arsenal. And if he can't do that, I don't care about anything else. He'll have to go. He will, because we've spent all this money on him as well. I mean, what's it? £700 million he's had in 4 years. If we're not winning trophies this season, something. I don't think that's good enough, really, personally. For me,
I think I'm with you. I think he's got to lift a trophy this season. Whatever it is, he's got to lift something. He's got to show some return on investment, for sure. I think you're right.
Exactly. Jeff Oss says there, City were not great against Fulham, but still won 5-1. Yeah, and we were not good against Fulham and drew. Yeah, that's the difference in terms of quality and elite team. No, you're right, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, that's going to happen a lot, isn't it? You know, Man City don't have to play that well to beat most teams in the Premier League because they've just got players that are miles better and they know what they're doing in terms of the fact that that group's been together. A lot of those players have been together a long time and the new players come in and that some of them take a little bit of time to settle in, but you know they're going to settle in and you know they're going to become what they need. And yeah, I mean, that's what we're up against. And but I say I'm not looking, I don't look at that as an excuse, really. How good Man City are doesn't affect us. We drew with Fulham. That's nothing to do with Man City being good. That's to do with us not managing that game properly. And, you know, we lost those games at the end of last season, Liverpool game, the West Ham game, the Southampton game. We dropped all those points. And that was nothing to do with Man City being good and winning games. It was to do with us making silly mistakes and not having that winning mentality. Because when Man City were winning game after game, Liverpool were chasing them down. Liverpool kept winning game after game after game. They couldn't catch them, but at least they kept winning. So, you know, that's to do with mentality. And that's something that we haven't got at this moment in time. We haven't had. Maybe this season we might prove us wrong and maybe we've got it. But all we can do is win our games. And what Man City do, Man City do. And I'm not going to use it as an excuse. I'm not going to say, well, last season people say, well, Man City won the treble. They're one of the greatest teams ever. How could we have expected to have won the league? Well, we were top. We were 8 points ahead of them at one point, regardless of how good they were. And if we could lost, win our game, we would have won the league.
Exactly. We lost the league. They didn't win it for as far as I can see. If we had drawn one, two, three of those draws, that would have been another four points. And that would have been made it a lot closer. And I think it's not just about getting those four extra points. Then our confidence would have been up. And I think we would have just gone and rallied to the end. So... Yeah. And City, it didn't matter that we lost twice to City. They wouldn't have been able to do anything because mathematically, they wouldn't have been able to catch us. So you're right. I think we lost the league. I don't think they won it. So, I know what you mean. But when you look at that example with Liverpool, that was toe-to-toe. It was like watching a boxing match. One team would win, then Man City would win. Liverpool would win, then Man City. It was unbelievable. I mean, both teams, I've got to rate, say, wow, that's insane. Neither of them gave up mentally and right till the end. And it was just that one point that separated them. See, that's when I'd say that, yes, Man City won that because they had Liverpool knocking on their door every single game. But we just capitulated as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I want to see. If we'd done that last season, right, and we'd lost the league, but we'd kept winning games and Man City just happened to have got one more point than us, right, then or 2 points, whatever it was. If we'd pushed them all the way and they had to win their last game of the season to win the league and they did and they won it, then I'd have been over the moon with that. Yeah. And I would, you know, even though we still would have come second, I would have thought, what a great season. But the fact that we were in such a good position and we just showed such weak mentality when it mattered, that's what really annoyed me last season. And having come off the back of the season before where we should have got the top four because it was in our hands and we blew it with that game against Tottenham and the Newcastle game.
Oh,
you know,
God,
it was in our hands and we blew it. And two seasons in a row we've done that. And that's why it's almost like a theme building up. And if this season we do it again in whatever it might be, whether it's for the top four, whether it's for the league title, whether it's for one of the European competition, whatever it is, then that'll be another season when we've done the same. And, you know, to me, that's too much. You know, everyone can be unlucky. Liverpool, people say, well, Liverpool have only won one Premier League title. Yeah, they've only won one Premier League title, but two other seasons, they took Man City all the way to the last game, you know, and in any other season, they would have won three league titles, wouldn't they? And they've come when they were unlucky only to win one, you could say, with the points that they got in some of those seasons. Didn't they get 97 points or something?
97 and lost one game. I mean
incredible. Yeah.
Let me just mute that.
Yeah, of course. Neil getting his takeaway ordered. I think that's what it is.
Sorry about that, Rich.
I mean, I'll tell you what I wanted to talk about, actually. Going back to the Man United game for a minute, there was a couple of VAR decisions that were raised a few eyebrows. Our penalty, first of all, in real time, I thought clear penalty, no issue. The referee thought so, gave it, no problem. But then I saw the replay and thought, you know what, I don't think he's really touched him there. And they made the referee go over to the screen and he kind of agreed. What did you make of that? I mean, having seen the replay made a difference for me with the outcome.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I think when you first see it, you think it's a penalty all day long. He's sandwiched between two players. How could he not have been touched by one of them or both? Yeah. But then when you slow it down, you look at it, you kind of, I'm not saying he dived, but I think he might have lost his footing a little bit. So there is a suggestion there was a light touch of the knee somewhere along the line, which could have been, but I couldn't. It's so difficult to see, even if you slow it right down. It's just it's almost impossible. So I think in when you look at it that way, the right decision was made. However, yeah, the oddity was the fact that they went to review it and it was like overturned. And even Gary Neville, surprise, surprise, was saying how that's really unusual. You know, that would have just been given as a penalty. But to be fair, if you're going to play by the letter of the law, I think that was the right decision. That wasn't a penalty for me.
And to me, VAR, we've sat here plenty of times. Everybody has criticised VAR. What are VAR doing? Why are they ruining the game? And they've done that. But I thought yesterday, that decision in particular, that's what VAR should be for. The referee at the time has got a, you know, like we all thought, that's a penalty. The referee gives a penalty because that's what it looked like. And then on replay, you can see it wasn't a penalty. And if that had been given against us, been given a man who had scored, we would have been thinking, what on earth is going on? Why haven't VAR overturned that? Because he clearly didn't touch him. So to me, VAR worked really well on that, you know, make the referee look at it. Yeah, the referee was told, wasn't he, by VAR, I think you've got this wrong, go and check it. And he went and checked it and he agreed he had got it wrong. And that's right, that's fine. I like that. When that happens and you see it like that, you think, yes, that VAR is working. But he doesn't do that often enough to justify. There was a penalty Man United got against Nottingham Forest the week before, a very similar type of incident. And the referee wasn't told to go to the screen. He subsequently didn't change his mind. And Man United got a penalty and they won the game. And had he gone to the screen, had he been told to go to the screen, he may have changed his mind because that was a very soft penalty. There was hardly any touch, if any touch at all, on that one as well. Very, very similar. So one VAR got it right in our game and we've got to be pleased about that. Really, well, that was against us. You've got to be pleased that VAR are doing their job. But when they're not doing it consistently enough, you think to yourself, well, why are they not doing that in other games? Why are they not being through? Why are they not getting it right more often? That's what we want to see. And then, of course, we then had the offside goal at Man United score, which, again, this one went in our favour instead of against us. And it was tight, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was tight.
Oh, yeah, it was tight. But I think at the end of the day, if they've mapped it out and it's correct and they've done their sketchograph, which never, ever works out for us, ever, but for once, it's gone in our favour. I mean, I'm glad in a way because I think we were robbed in the reverse fixture last season when Martinelli was clearly onside and they admitted they'd made a mistake. So I thought, yeah, right, good. You know, it's gone in our favour for a change. But, oh, God, my heart was... I thought that was it. I thought, that's it. He's got the winner. What have we done? This is a side we should be beating, very much like Fulham. I know it's Man United, but I really thought that the way they played, we should be beating. And it looks like now we're going to lose to them. And it's like, what is going on? And I think that would have been a massive gap already after four games, 5 points behind Man City. That would have been a tough one to take. But as it transpired, it wasn't. And then we came good in the last, you know, few minutes with Wanda, Vieira, all the substitutes doing amazing things. And Declan Rice, I think he's a future captain. I think he's amazing. He's just a born natural leader. The way he comes across in interviews, just the way he is as a human being. And you know what, Rich? I think he's so enamoured with being at Arsenal. He's still in disbelief that he's at Arsenal and he's really soaking that up.
He's absolutely loving it.
He's like a kid in a candy shop. He's almost my God, I'm at Arsenal. I can't believe this. And I love that about him. But at the same time, he also acts professionally as well. And he's just got the balance right. And I honestly think the future is build a team around him because I think he's amazing. I know we're never going to get it again because loyalty in football is just not there. But I've said it to you before, Tony Adams is my favourite player of all time just because of his loyalty and what he gave. And whether we're going to ever get someone like him again, unlikely. But you know what? I see a lot in Declan Rice that reminds me of had those kind of traits.
Absolutely.
And you've got to remember, look, he was loyal to West Ham for a long time. So he might, if we do well and we're successful and we lift a few trophies, there's no reason why he shouldn't stay. So
my only issue is that Mikel Arteta has made Martin Odegaard captain, rightly or wrongly, whatever the reasons. But I can't see Mikel Arteta taking that away from Martin Odegaard in the same way he didn't take it off him when we had maybe Granit Xhaka. I know Granit Xhaka didn't really want it, but he was the natural leader. And I think Declan Rice is going to become, he almost is now on the pitch, he's a leader. Off the pitch, the way he speaks is brilliant. He represents Arsenal in exactly the way you want a player to represent Arsenal. He loves being there. he's when he speaks in interviews, he comes across as though he really, really loves what's happening. He loves the club. And his reaction to the goal yesterday was just, I know it was, you know, an injury time goal, a winning goal against Man United. You're going to be happy. But the way he celebrated that, to me, it's like he almost feels as though he's Arsenal through and through. And he's only been at the club for like 2 months. And it feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like he's an Arsenal man already. And you saw, you know, we're going to watch him play for England in next week for the first time as an Arsenal player. And it's going to seem like he's always been an Arsenal player. You see what I mean? Just because of how quickly he's got that Arsenal kind of DNA, if you like, hasn't he? And, it's amazing, really. And he's fast become my favourite player after five games. He's just brilliant.
Everything about him.
You know, and I say, I just love everything about him, his whole character. And he's almost like he's got that kind of Granit Xhaka kind of leadership in him, I think, but he's kind of, it seems a little bit more happy on the pitch. You know, Granit Xhaka always seemed a bit grumpy and miserable and went to, you know, get involved in things he shouldn't have done sometimes. I mean, I love Granit Xhaka.
He's happy, he's always happy.
Whereas Declan Rice is just smiling all the time, you know. He wins a tackle, he's smiling. He loses a tackle, he's smiling. He misses a header from 5 yards, he's smiling. He scores a goal and he's loving it. You know what I mean? He just gets what it means to play for Arsenal. He's playing for Arsenal as we would have done if we played for Arsenal. That's how we would have played. We couldn't have stopped smiling, you know, playing for Arsenal at the Emirates.
And that is the reason why I think so many fans are relating to him. That's exactly
For him to get that goal yesterday, you know, his first goal could have been a crappy goal when you're 4-0 up against Nottingham Forest or something like that. But to get an injury time when it wasn't just a winning goal in him, but to get a goal like that against Man United is what a way to get your first goal. I mean, just unbelievable stuff.
I mean, he probably would never forget this, whatever goal it was, but that is going to be extra special. He said it himself. He goes, I can't wait to get home and watch it. I think he was referring to Match of the Day. And it's like, it's crazy, isn't it? Can you imagine going home to Match of the Day to watch yourself scoring against Man United?
Can you imagine the
feeling, Rich? Oh, my goodness. Rich, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to leave you. I've got to go on to another thing. I'm really apologise for that. But hopefully I hope I can be on a show with you again soon. And I'd like to say congratulations for yesterday as well. That was brilliant on Talk TV. It was well done. So that was good stuff.
I like going on it. It's quite good fun. So, hopefully. So,
thank you for having me on as always, and hopefully I will see you very, very soon.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for coming on, as always. Thank you very much.
See you later. See you soon. Bye.
Cheers, Neil. Speak to you later. See you. Bye. Bye. So that's Neil there. He's on another show. He's a popular guy, isn't he, Neil? He's in demand, so he's off on another show. So we'll run through a few of these comments then, because there's been quite a lot of comments coming that we haven't had the chance to get through yet. I can't remember how far back we got to go. There's quite a few, actually. Where are we here? Oh, Nathan says, they're talking about Kieran Tierney. He says, did you not get priced out of a move? He says, I think the asking price was 25 to 30 million, which I think is a fair price for Kieran Tierney, if I'm honest. And if a club's not willing to pay that, then maybe you drop your price a little bit to get a permanent deal rather than a loan. Is his value going to go up being on loan in Spain? It might do next year, but it might not, because he's not played in the Premier League, has he? So I don't know, we'll have to see. But yeah, I'm not sure what happened with that. Strange deal for me, but anyway. Terry says, I'm glad Katie went on loan because he'll be a great asset when the new manager comes in. Well, I don't know about that, Terry. Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to be in that position for a while. Yeah, we're talking about the American players. Terry says there, we brought in Tobin Heath as well. Yeah, we did. I thought Tobin Heath at least contributed to the team though, when she played, obviously, for the women's team the season before. I thought she contributed well. So I don't think that was just a token American signing. It maybe slightly was, but at least she contributed well, and she was great at, you know, the time she spent with the fans and everything. So I've got no problem with Tobin Heath. Mark C says, I've enjoyed watching TalkSport. Mark Goldbridge lose his shit over the injury time win yesterday. Yeah, I mean, he did, didn't he? But I mean, you know, Mark Goldbridge, I actually quite like Mark Goldbridge, I've got to be honest. I know he's a bit of a divisive character, isn't he? But I quite enjoy watching him and stuff like that. I think he's quite entertaining. And yeah, he wasn't very happy yesterday, was he? Bless him. But never mind. We've certainly lost a few games at Old Trafford, haven't we? So we know what it feels like, don't we? Mark C says, Europa League is only quality at semi-final stage. The Champions League, you're up against quality from game one. Exactly, yeah, that's what we were saying before. There's no, you know, I'm happy with the group that we've got. It could have been a lot worse. I think it's a group that we can get through, and I think we will get through the group, first or second, I think we will. But you're right, yeah, the Europa League, you can play your kids in the Europa League group stage. You're still probably, we're going to have enough quality to get through, win the group, as we've done every time we've been in it. So, yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. You're right. Jeff R says there, Nelson was also good when he came in. He was, yeah. But what hurt me a lot is that why is Arteta not playing Trossard? We can play and advance. Yeah, no, I agree. Advance. Like, yeah, I mean, he can. And I mean, I think yesterday he had to make some choices to try and win that game, you know, when it was 1-1. And he went with Nelson, he went with Vieira. And to be fair, they both did well, didn't they? I mean, Vieira had another good substitute appearance. I thought Nelson did well when he came on. He caused him a lot of problems, didn't he? So yeah, I've got no issues with the subject that, yes, Trossard should be playing more minutes. He got a start, didn't he, the week before against Fulham and got taken off because he didn't maybe have a great game. But you've got to give your player, you know, Havertz has a poor game, another poor game, another poor game, still gets picked. Trossard had one slightly poor game. And he's on the bench straight away. Other players that's happened to as well. Tommy Asu last season, for example. So I'm not quite sure. Again, it comes back to the Havertz thing. What's going on with Havertz? We're not really sure, are we? He seems to be getting more chances than anybody else. Terry says, I think we'll have a few of our players wanting out in January. Well, some of the ones that are sitting on the bench, if they don't get to play in the Champions League group stage, I agree. I think they will want to go. And you can't blame them. You know, I don't blame Kieran Tierney. He should have been playing more minutes, definitely. And he didn't really fit that system, that moving into midfield that he wants the left-back to do. Look at Tomiyasu yesterday when he came on, played there. He was playing in midfield, wasn't he? And maybe he's more suitable to that than Kieran Tierney was. But I like Kieran Tierney, and I thought he was the best defensive left-back that we had. But that's not what Arteta wants. And that could be the same with other players. And I think you're right. Maybe some will be going. I think you're probably right about that. Jeff Ross says there, Saka looks knackered too. Yesterday he was too poor. Why not give Pepe one last chance to prove? That's not happening, is it? I mean, Pepe that horse has bolted, if you like. I think that, unfortunately for Nicolas Pepe, he's not going to get the opportunity to play, is he? So I think we just need to forget about him. But yeah, you're right, Saka, he hasn't been great this season yet, has he really? He's got a couple of goals, but he's not really played as well as we would have expected him to. Maybe it's tiredness. Maybe he needs a break, needs a rest. Maybe he does. We'll have to see what happens after the internationals. Mark C says, once we start rocking the FA Cup and Carabao Cup, I'm sure there's more game time coming for ESR, Trossard and others. Well, you'd imagine certainly in the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup potentially, but, you know, is that all that they should be playing in? I think they should be playing more minutes in the big games that really matter, the Premier League and the Champions League. That's where they should be playing. They should be getting more minutes there. But certainly Smith Rowe should be up. He hasn't played 1 minute yet in four games in the Premier League. Defos says, yeah, Richard, I'm not buying into is Arteta was forced to play Havertz. Kai, since he was at Chelsea, Mikel admired him. Even Pep at City were interested in him. I'm sure Arteta wanted Havertz. I mean, it wouldn't make sense that he didn't want him because apart from them, maybe them two Americans that we mentioned before, I'm not sure if we've had a player that Mikel Arteta hasn't wanted that we've brought in since he's been manager. I'd be surprised by that much money, but it just seems strange that he did say he wasn't really sure where he fitted into the team. Was he going to be the Xhaka number six role? Was he going to be a false nine? Was he going to play in one of the wider front positions, and we still don't really know what his best position is going to be. He's played pretty much three or four different positions already, hasn't he, and not been particularly great at any of them. So we'll see what happens on that one. Loki says they're party politics. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we get where you're coming from, Loki. Terry says there, Richard, how the hell can you compare Ozil and Havertz unless you mean kick Havertz out of the club? Well, no, what I meant was I can just see a few little similarities in their demeanour on the pitch. Because Ozil always looked, I suppose, laid back. We mentioned that about Havertz, didn't we? And I do feel as though maybe Kai Havertz does look a little bit, he does look a little bit lazy. He looks a little bit disinterested, and people could just, I mean, I think Mesut Ozil was a fantastic football player. I love watching him play for Arsenal, and I was sad in the way that ended. And I can just see some similarities with their demeanour on the pitch and the fact that it doesn't seem to be working. It stopped working when Mikel Arteta came with Ozil, didn't it? Because of the role he wanted him to play. And it seems to be Kai Havertz seems to be having similar problems, but anyway, we'll see. But Terry says, I bet Chelsea couldn't believe their luck when Arteta came in for Havertz. It must have been like having a winning lottery. Well, I mean, for that money, yes, definitely. I mean, £65 million is a lot of money for any player, but for a player that never really set the world on fire at Chelsea in the first place, and as Nathan said, maybe he's lived off that Champions League winning goal. But yeah, I don't know how 65 million we paid that much for him. I don't know, but let's not worry too much about the price that we paid for him. Let's worry about the impact that he has on the team. And if he's not going to produce performances, I don't care if he was a free transfer. I don't care if he cost 100 million. If he's not doing the job, he's out of the team. If he's doing the job, he's in the team, and that's it. So, you know, we expect more from him. That's the point, I suppose, isn't it? Mark C says, I'm still pissed off we blew it in the Europa League last season. It was there for the taking. Absolutely. And it's been way too long since he won a European trophy, and Arteta won't get respect until he wins one. Well, I don't know about not getting respect. I mean, you know, Pep hadn't won a European trophy with Man City until very recently. I don't think he didn't get respect. But, I mean, Arsenal need to win more European trophies. We've only got two in our whole history. So, yeah, absolutely we do. And I agree with you. I think the Europa League last season, well, every season we've been in a Europa League, it's been there for the taking for us. We've been one of the strongest teams in it, and we've always seemed to find a way to not win it. So, you know, one reason or another, and that's something that, you know, hopefully we won't be in the Europa League again for a long time. But I can't see us winning the Champions League anytime soon. So that wait for European trophy is going to go on a bit longer, isn't it? You know, certainly for the next 2 or 3 years, I can't see us winning the Champions League. But who knows? You could get a lucky draw one year. You know, you get through a couple of games and suddenly you're in the final, and who knows? You know, we could do, you know, Liverpool got to the final the other year and played Tottenham. Imagine that. You played a team as bad as Tottenham in the final in the Champions League. You're going to win it, aren't you? So you never know. But yeah, I'll be amazed if we win it in the next 3 or 4 years, but we'll see. Terry says, the least I expect from our players week in, week out is effort, even if we play bad and lose with them. No, exactly. No, that, I think that's the one thing that as fans we expect, because we know if we played for Arsenal, we would run from the first minute until the last minute we were on the pitch, wouldn't we? We wouldn't stop, because that's how much it would mean to us. And we want to see the same in the players. And if they're not doing that, we're gonna not be happy with them. We're gonna get the up, aren't we? Of course we are. And I think everyone's got to understand that. You know, it's not because we've got agendas against players or anything like that. If a player's not working hard enough or don't look as though they are, we're gonna get the up as fans, aren't we? Because we know how important it is to play and represent Arsenal, don't we? We know what it means. Declan Rice knows what it means. You know, others know what it means. It seems as though Kai Havertz at this moment hasn't got it yet. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We're never gonna find out, are we? Yet Loki says maybe Arteta's vanity will cost him in the end. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it will. I think his stubbornness and his vanity and his ego may well cost us, or cost him, and ultimately cost us, because, you know, as Arsenal, we should be winning trophies. And if the reason why we are not winning trophies is because of the manager, it's going to cost us as well, isn't it? They've backed him heavily, the club. He's got to deliver. Simple as that. He's got to deliver. And whether he's got to leave his ego at the door, that's what he's going to have to do, if that's what it takes. Because, yeah, you're right. Going back to the earlier discussion about the penalty, Loki says no penalty. Exactly, I agree 100%. It wasn't a penalty. And say VAR for once got something right. And we should celebrate that, because it doesn't happen often enough, does it? Terry says, shame Havertz didn't get a yellow card for the dive. At least he would have been one card closer to a suspension. But he's not going to get many yellow cards, is he, to be honest? He's not really tackling anyone, is he? I don't think it was a dive. What happened was he expected to be fouled. The foul didn't come, and he's almost left his leg against the Wan-Bissaka, wasn't it? And they've clashed, so he's gone down. But it wasn't a dive. It wasn't a penalty. The right decision was made, and there you go. And then we went on to the offside. Loki says, well offside. Well, I don't know about well offside. It was tight, wasn't it? And I've said this plenty of times before. I always look at decisions in our games and think, how would I feel if that was against us? Now, if we scored that goal in an 88th minute and that was given us offside and disallowed, I would have been pretty annoyed. I could understand Ten Hag being annoyed at the end. I'm not saying it wasn't offside necessarily. I don't think it was clear. It wasn't clearly offside, was it? And if an arm is ahead, you're not really gaining an advantage by your arm being ahead, because you can't use your arm anyway. So I don't know. I would have been annoyed if it had been disallowed if we scored it. So I understand Man United being annoyed. Was it offside? Maybe it was, but it was so tight, wasn't it? And, you know, football should be about scoring goals. And they always said, didn't they, in offsides, it was supposed to give the benefit of the doubt to the attacking team. And it never does. And it certainly didn't then. And to our benefit, because we lose that game. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. If that goal stands, we lose that game, and that's 1 point out of six in two home games, which would have been terrible. So we've got away with it a little bit. It was, yeah, maybe it was offside, maybe it was, and the right decision again was reached. But I would have been pretty annoyed if it was the other way, and our goal got disallowed for that reason. So I think we need to be grateful for that. Terry says, I bet by the end of the season, Rice will wish he had gone to City under us. And I don't know, we'll see. I think he's happy enough at Arsenal. I think he gets it, and I think that's the most important thing. Terry says, Rice is happy because he knows whatever happens, he ain't nervous. Oh dear. Terry says, Neil, take care, mate. Great to see a smile back on your face. Yeah, it's always good to see Neil anyway, isn't he? And Terry says there, come on, Richard, it was a whole millimetre off. So yeah, it probably was at least a millimetre, wasn't it? But I'll say I would have been pretty annoyed if it had been given against us. But anyway, we took full advantage, didn't we, and won the game. And it's always nice to beat Man United, isn't it? I think any Arsenal fan that's been around, certainly since the 90s even, you know, the great rivalry we had with Alex Ferguson, which went back, of course, to the 1980s, didn't it, with George Graham. It's always nice to beat Man United, isn't it? No matter what the occasion, no matter what game it is, no matter what happens, it's always nice to beat them. And to beat them for the second year running at the Emirates with an injury time goal or stoppage time goal is sweet, isn't it? It's a sweet moment. And these are moments that we need to enjoy as fans, don't we? Because, you know, they don't happen enough today. So it's nice when, you know, we can beat a team like Man United. If, you know, they're one of the two or three teams in a season that you look forward to playing and look forward to beating the most. So, yeah, we all enjoyed that, didn't we? And hopefully, you know, going into the international break now, we've got a little bit of momentum, haven't we, built up now because we've got the win. And hopefully we can keep going. It's a tough game next season against Everton. I'm sure when Adam hosts the show next week, he'll look ahead to that Everton game and the international and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it was important that we won that game. And, you know, we went from losing 2-1 in the 88th minute, briefly, to winning 3-1 in the 101st minute, whenever it was, when Jesus scored that great goal at the end. So, it was a great finish to that game, wasn't it? Even if it wasn't a great game prior to the last 5 minutes of normal time and injury time, it wasn't great, was it? But we got the win. That's all that matters. And we move on into this international break, which this early in the season seems a bit pointless. But anyway, I think we're playing Scotland, aren't we? So we've got to enjoy that, haven't we, surely? And of course, Eddie didn't get a chance to talk about it with Neil. There's so much to talk about in the Man United game. But of course, Eddie gets his first call up, which, you know, it's great for Eddie. It's great. It's another tick for our academy, isn't it? You know, one of our academy guys from Hale End getting a call up for England. It's brilliant news on that side of things. Is he an international striker? I'm not convinced. I thought yesterday he worked hard, but, you know, I don't think he's quite at that level, but wishing all the best. Of course we do when he's playing for England. Let's hope he can make an impact. Hopefully get some minutes on the pitch. Who knows? We'll have to see. But yeah, no, well done to Eddie. And of course, you know, we know Declan Rice, Bukayo Saka, and of course Aaron Ramsdale as well are all in the squad, aren't they? So that's good news as well, isn't it? For them. And we know Ben White has got issues with England and with Gareth Southgate. He's never going to get picked again, is he? Well, that manager's there. So we might as well just forget that. And Ben can just carry on concentrating on playing for Arsenal, because he's never going to get picked, is he? So, which is a shame, but that's the way it is. And I'm sure he understands the situation. So, yeah, well done to Eddie anyway, even though, you know, it's not, I personally don't think he's good enough. But anyway, that's fine. Terry says, anyway, Richard, what were you doing on Andy the Gabby Cabby, my local YouTube? Yes. Oh, yeah, I think he's great, actually. I've got to be honest. I love him. I think he's brilliant. So, yeah, always going to try and support his channel because he talks about sense and he's a good guy. And, yeah, I really enjoy him. So, yes, I'll be popping up on there a few times. Don't worry about that, because he's great. And, yeah, it's a good show, actually. So, yeah, check out Andy the Gabby, the Gobby Cabby, because he's very, very good on YouTube. He does some great stuff, very useful information as well, about all the injustices going on in the world, particularly in London, the hooligans and stuff like that. So definitely get involved in that. It's good stuff. Great channel. And I didn't realise, is he from your way, is he, Terry? Great stuff as well. So, yeah, he's a good lad. But, yeah, so, you know, we've ended this first part of the season, four games, three wins and a draw, which we would have taken. Well, it should be four wins, let's be honest. We should have beaten Fulham. But anyway, we've got three wins and a draw, which when you looked at the fixtures, we'd have probably thought, OK, yeah, that's a reasonable amount. I think most people probably expected us to get around about 10 or 12 points, whatever it is. So, yeah, we've doing what we expected to do. We haven't played that well yet. Maybe that's a good thing. We'll have to see where it leads to. Loki says, good show, Rich. Cheers. Then good to see you again, my friend. Hope you're well. Thanks for tuning in. Terry says, from Margaret. Oh, is he from Margaret? Is he? Brilliant. You know, who was it? Some that song about Margaret? Chaz and Dave, wasn't it? I used to like going to Margaret actually for a day at the seaside when I was a kid and stuff like that. We used to go there quite a bit. Marcy says, so far, in my opinion, we haven't played anywhere near the levels we reached last season. No, we haven't. So to be where we are now is good going. And I agree. I mean, we haven't reached the heights yet in terms of the performances, but winning games. What more do you want? But yeah, let's hope that we come back off the international break. We can start to really find our form. There were some positive signs yesterday in terms of the way that we played in certain aspects of that game. Still not quite there, is it? But I'm sure we'll get there. I'm looking forward to where this season's going. And let's hope it can end up being a successful season. But yeah, still work to do. Mikel Arteta's got a lot of work to do, hasn't he? Sorting a few of these issues out, getting a few little tweaks here and there, maybe working on Kai Havertz one way or the other, either getting him to play better, getting him to do what he needs to do, or putting him on the bench for a few games to work on stuff in training. I'm not quite sure, but we'll see. Mark C says, have a good night, chaps. Onwards and upwards we go. Indeed, yeah, onwards and upwards we go. Exactly. So let's hope that... that happens. So yeah, that's it then for tonight. That's been the Arsenal. I say it's called the all new Arsenal. It wasn't really that new tonight, was it? Because I was back hosting it, and of course Neil's on, as he's always on. He's one of our favourite guests, of course, and I'm sure he'll be back again next week. Hopefully Adam will be back next week as well. He was busy this week. He couldn't do it, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. We're looking ahead to that Everton game, which is going to be a biggie, isn't it? So there was that to look forward to as well. So join Adam for that. In the meantime, of course, there's no actual games coming up, is there, for Arsenal this weekend because of the international break. The Arsenal women are in action on Wednesday in the Champions League qualifiers against Lokoping, I think they are from Sweden or Denmark, something like that. They are, aren't they? And we've got to win that game. It kicks off at 4 o'clock UK time, which is a little bit awkward because I'm at work and I won't be able to do a watch along, unfortunately. In fact, I won't be able to watch most of it. But what I am going to try and do is get a show together later in the week, get the guys on, Andreas, etc. We'll look back on that game. Of course, if we win, we'll be in the final, and then we'll have another game to play where if we win that, we'll go into the group stage of the Champions League. So some important games this early in the season, but that's about to be all coming up. So we'll look at that when it comes around. So stay tuned for that. Obviously, no watch-alongs this week, unfortunately, but we'll be back, of course, for the Everton game. I say Adam will be back next Tuesday. It'll be on a regular day of Tuesday next week for the Arsenal review. Terry says, great show, Richard. Always feel better after a good rant. And then, oh, hang on, I've got nothing come up on my screen. What's this here? When's the women's show back on? Well, I mean, we're gonna start doing it obviously when we're coming up to the start of the season. I say we'll probably do a show to do with these European games in the next week or so. We'll try and get. I was gonna do it Friday, but I'm actually doing a 5K race, so I won't be around on Friday to do it. So we might maybe do it maybe over the weekend because there's no games on. Maybe we'll see when the guys can come on. Terry says Russo, indeed. Yes, we're looking forward to seeing Russo, aren't we? Along with our other new signings. It's going to be an exciting season for the women as well. Looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that starting in. It doesn't start till October, the league, but we've got these Champions League qualifiers, which is so important. We showed last year, semi-final, we've got to be in the Champions League. We want the men and the women both in the Champions League together. That hasn't happened for a while, so let's get that sorted out. So, yeah, Wednesday the game's on, and we'll bring a show to you looking back on that and hopefully looking ahead to the final of the qualifiers. We are, so hopefully we'll be in it and win and go through and qualify for the group stage, which is what we need. So that's that in the Arsenal review tonight. We've enjoyed it. Please give us a like before you leave. Thanks to Neil, of course, as always, for coming on. Such a great guest. I'll say join Adam next week. Look out for the women's stuff in the meantime. I will see you very, very soon. Enjoy the rest of your week, whatever it is that you're doing. Weather's nice, so enjoy that as well. And I'll see you very, very soon. Take it easy. In the meantime, as always, come on, you guys. Come on, you guys. That was great yesterday, wasn't it? We enjoyed that. Well done, Declan, as well. We love you, mate. Take it easy, guys. Speak to you soon. Ta-da.